today, pickled Brits, anyone? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, from the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, the slew of economic data in the past few weeks suggests the UK economy is in a bit of a pickle, with a mix of recessionary signals pulling against some more positive wages news, at least for some. And it highlights the dilemma facing many central banks as their data dependency pulls them in multiple directions and highlights how complex the current environment actually is. It seems the UK economy is losing steam, though that's partly due to industrial action and unusually wet weather. But it's actually tracking well below the Bank of England's growth forecast for the third quarter, and yet on the other hand, cost pressures in the UK are running too high for the central bank to be bounded by growth concerns, at least just yet. The latest data from the ONS show that the UK economy shrank at the fastest pace in 7 months in July, as strikes and wet weather hit activity harder than expected, reviving fears that a recession may be actually underway. Gross domestic product dropped 0.5%. That followed a 0.5% gain in June. Economists had expected a contraction of around 0.2%. Services, construction, and manufacturing all shrank. The main causes for the contraction was the dominant services sector, which fell 0.5%. Cool and rainy weather depressed retail sales during the month, and output was also dented as doctors, teachers, and rail staff walked off the job in their disputes with the government over pay. Activity information and communication sector also fell in July, particularly in computer programming and consultancy, after three consecutive months of growth. And the ONS said that strikes held back recruitment, especially in the NHS, and wet weather hurt retail sales, construction, and outdoor venues. Offsetting the falls in health, consulting, and retail was a big increase in recreational experiences as people went out. The arts, recreation, and entertainment sectors grew 6.6%. That's the best growth since May 2021. And within that, sports, amusement, and recreation activities grew by 12.4%, while creative arts and entertainment grew by 4.9%. But there were also declines across other sectors, including construction and industrial production. Manufacturing activity was the biggest downward contributor to production, following strong growth in a month before. Manufacturer of rubber and plastic products and other non-metallic mineral products was the largest contributor to the fall, followed by computer, electronic, and optical products. And in construction, households cut back on repair and maintenance in a sign that inflation is eating into incomes. The sector shrank 0.5% as a whole, largely due to a fall in demand among private housing. But there was also a slowdown in the house building sector, and the ONS said the unusually cold and wet July weather may have been to blame. The broader picture does look positive, with the economy growing across the services, production, and construction sectors in the last 3 months, said Darren Morgan, director at the ONS. The latest GDP estimates may well be revised later this month when the ONS will release new estimates consistent with their Blue Book changes. Those changes rewrote the narrative of the pandemic, with the economy larger than previously thought of by the end of 2021 and above pre-COVID levels. However, they provided no guide to how the economy has fared since then, a period of rising inflation and interest rates. Higher interest rates and sticky inflation are having a more significant impact on the economy, said Neil Burrell, Chief Investment Officer at Premier Milton. All eyes will be on the bank and the announcement of the rate decision. Now, another signal is that UK unemployment just hit its highest level since 2021, but it's more than two decades since annual wage growth was at current levels. That means the central bank's fight against inflation still has some way to go. The portion of people out of work and seeking employment rose to 4.3% in the 3 months through to July, according to data from the ONS. The figures mark the biggest drop in employment outside a recession and suggest the Bank of England's efforts to cool the economy is working, at least according to the Resolution Foundation. And it also eased a swingeing cost of living crisis, with total wages growth overtaking inflation for the first time since March 2022. Vacancies fell below 1 million for the first time since August 2021, and employment plunged by 207,000. That's the biggest dip since October 2020. Unemployment rose by 159,000 people to 1.46 million, and the total hours worked dropped below pre-COVID levels again. But the report also showed that average earnings, excluding bonuses, climbed 7.8% from the previous year. That's the fastest pace since the series started in 2001, and total pay climbed a massive 8.5%. So while the labour market data provides respite to the Bank of England policymakers, it also signals some relief for Britons, who saw the first real wage growth in 16 months. Real pay overall rose 0.6% in the 3 months to July compared to a year earlier. That's a data point Prime Minister Rishi Sunak can use to argue the crisis may be easing, but then record wage growth will worry the Bank of England. Earnings in cash terms continue to increase at a record rate outside the pandemic-affected period, said Darren Morgan, director at ONS. Coupled with lower inflation, this means people's real pay is no longer falling. In fact, though, private sector wages growth, which the Bank of England is watching for signs of persistent inflation, slid to 8.1% from 8.2% the prior month. I think the challenge right now is that wages are high and are rising, and there is a real risk that the second round effects mean that this inflation becomes embedded, said Sarah Breeden, the nominee to be the Bank of England Deputy Governor for Financial Stability. Still, Breeden cautioned on overzealous monetary tightening. In order to avoid a contraction, she said, the MPC would have to balance the risk of inflation becoming embedded and more persistent against the significant amount of monetary tightening, which the MPC has already enacted through a string of rate hikes, much of which are yet to filter through to the economy. She said, we're not forecasting a recession in response to questions in Parliament ahead of her appointment to the Monetary Policy Committee. It's not our intention to cause a recession, and the MPC will be very careful as it takes its decisions. Other internal rate setters on the MPC, including the Central Bank Governor Andrew Bailey and Chief Economist Hugh Pill, have suggested in recent weeks that the Bank of England is close to a turning point in its most aggressive hiking cycle in over three decades. And Breeden, who first will vote on November the 2nd, said that as a member of the MPC, she would examine to what extent wage and price inflation is expected in the medium term and would be weighing that against the further tightening that is coming through. And she conceded that there were a lot of mixed signals coming from recent data, including high wages, a loosening labour market and inflation coming down. How those combine to help us come to a medium-term judgment about what is happening to wages and pricing, that is what I will be looking at when I'm looking at interest rates in November, she told lawmakers. Despite clear signals of weakening momentum, we still expect the Bank of England to raise interest rates by 25 basis points next week, said Gerald Safin, chief economist at KPMG in the UK. The threshold for further increases may be hard to meet given the current economic outlook. In fact, strong divisions have emerged at the central bank about how to respond to inflation. Governor Andrew Bailey suggested the Bank of England was nearing an end of its quickest series of rate hikes in more than three decades. However, fellow policymaker Catherine Mann said there were potential splits on the MPC when she urged officials to err on the side of tightening further to prevent elevated inflation from taking root. So we don't know how Breeden might vote on interest rates when she joins the nine-member panel in November. She takes over from Deputy Governor John Cunliffe, who will retire after voting at the meeting on September the 21st. Over the next 2 years, demand should weaken and push the economy into excess supply, which will push down on inflation via domestic channels, she said. I expect inflation to be around the 2% target in 2 years, conditional on the assumptions in the August forecast. Having spent her entire career at the central bank, Breeden was also questioned on how she would avoid groupthink on the MPC. That's a criticism which has been levelled at the committee before, as its internal members, as opposed to its independent members, external members that is, who are not Bank of England employees, have often tended to vote the same way. Breeden said that independence of thought is important to me personally, that she was unafraid of challenging peers, and that she created a safe space in which others could challenge her. I don't assume I have all the answers. I listen because I might learn something, Breeden said. And she said she led the way in proposing changes to improving resilience in the so-called liability investment, or LDI, sector, which was thrown into chaos through Liz Truss's short-term premiership last year. And frankly, analysts are also confused. We still expect a rate hike next week, but with unemployment rising too, this latest data doesn't scream a need to lift rates much further, said James Smith, developed market economist at ING. Others think Britain's economy, which the Bank of England expects to stagnate at best for much of the next 2 years, is now losing steam in the face of a sharp increase in borrowing costs. That may give policymakers pause for thought when they decide next week whether to raise interest rates again in their fight to tame inflation. Underlying growth has lost momentum since earlier in the year, said Paul Dales at Capital Economics, noting a mild recession may in fact have already begun. These data points suggest that GDP growth in the third quarter as a whole is likely to fall well short of the Bank of England's 0.4% quarter-on-quarter forecast. Now that's bad news for Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who faces the prospect of a general election next year with his Conservative Party lagging far behind the Labour opposition in opinion polls. Chancellor of the Exchequer Jeremy Hunt said the UK is doing well compared to other countries. There are many reasons to be confident about the future. We were among the fastest in the G7 to recover after the pandemic, and the IMF has said we will grow faster than Germany, France and Italy in the long term, Hunt said in a statement. But the pound fell off a report, trading near a three-month low. And money markets are pricing in quarter-point rises to 5.5%, with the possibility of a further increase by the end of the year. But the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey signalled that the most aggressive hiking cycle since the 1980s is almost complete. So while most economists had expected the UK to eke out modest growth in the third quarter, the scale of July's decline makes a contraction much more likely. In fact, it could well be that the UK may be already in it to a recession, and that could persist all the way through 2024. Today's data supports our call for the Bank of England to keep interest rates steady next week to give time for its medicine to work rather than risking an overdose, said Kitty Usher, chief economist at the Institute of Directors. So she urged the Bank of England to forego a 15th consecutive rate hike next week. So the point I want to make here is that in this cross-current of data flowing one way and then the next, some signalling a reversal, some signalling momentum, it's very hard to know which way is up. And central banks around the world, including the RBA, and in the US the Fed, and in the Eurozone, and in the UK, and in New Zealand, they're all being data dependent. But the problem is that the data as it comes in is pulling in all sorts of directions. So it's very hard to figure out what to do. But I have a suggestion to make, and that is that I think central banks will be very cautious about undercooking rate hikes because they're conscious of what happened some decades ago when we were actually struggling with controlling inflation. And when rates were cut way too soon and inflation reasserted itself. Of all the risks that I see, the fact that inflation could well reassert itself later in the year, thanks to higher oil prices, thanks to higher energy prices, and to the continued pressure on wages, suggests to me that there is still significant potential for higher rates for longer than many in the markets want to see. But then, of course, as I've said before, what you hope for and what you get isn't necessarily the same thing, because hope It's not a strategy. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.